Dear friends in Christ, missionary work is good for the soul. Good for the soul who's lost, for through it the lost are found. Good for the soul of the one who's already Christian, for by it the found find again their purpose and are restored in vigor. Good for the congregation, for by it churches are freed from insularity and are reminded that there's more to life than making out budgets, scheduling potlucks, and quarreling with each other. So also missionary work is good for the soul of the pastor. Indeed, one of the most rewarding parts of being a professor here in Fort Wayne is to be immersed in the school's missionary spirit. Professors Rutt, Quill, Pless, Schultz, and many others are globetrotters for the sake of the gospel. The Church of Haiti has a seminary whose professors first studied here in Fort Wayne. A number of our own students have been to Madagascar, I know, on missions of mercy. Recent graduates have gone to Africa, South America, Kazakhstan. The seminary has also been pivotal in founding the emerging confessional Lutheran church in, of all places, Siberia. And what's more, we're the ones reaping the dividends, as we are inspired by Christians whose confessional identity and love for the gospel often puts us to shame and hopefully puts wind in our sails and stiffens our spine. As for me, I've got nothing to brag about when it comes to missionary work, but I'm grateful for the little taste I've had of it. In fact, today's story of Paul and Barnabas reminds me of my first work overseas. It happened when I was a pastor in Arcadia, north of Indianapolis, and I was given the opportunity to teach for 3 weeks in the former Soviet Union. 3 weeks is admittedly small potatoes, but it meant a lot to me. The first place we went on that trip was the Republic of Belarus, a republic, I suppose, more in name than in fact. At the time, an aspiring dictator was extending his control over the people. I remember watching him on TV, ever appearing as the benevolent leader, all the while violently suppressing his political opposition. But by the grace of God, the gospel was being given free course. After many years of atheistic communism, I was privileged to be among the first to preach the gospel to many who had not yet heard it, or had heard only of it, or had heard only a distorted version of it. And I remember how Dr. Feuerhahn addressed the people in a solemn way, saying to them, "People of Belarus, this is a great day for you, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And as he spoke, you could almost see the light shining in the darkness. In his words, the presence of God was palpable. Through Feuerhahn's word, God was claiming these Belarusian people as his own. Whatever the would-be dictator was doing politically, God's kingdom was on the march. And a wonderful time we had, lecturing and preaching all day, day after day, people coming for no other reason than to hear the life-saving words of Jesus. It was all very exciting. And then it made me think of my own congregation in Arcadia, where it seemed the folks took the gospel all too for granted. And as I was mentally berating my parishioners, I looked at myself. And I wondered how seldom I entered into church and actually stopped to think what a wonderful blessing it is to be able to go to church and to hear God's word of forgiveness and to sing hymns, real hymns, to our triune God, to even know who God is and to call upon him as Father. How easily we take for granted the gifts that we've been given. And so it happened that Paul and Barnabas were on a missionary journey to Lystra, a town riddled with pagan belief and practices, a town fumbling in spiritual darkness. And in the preaching of Paul and Barnabas, God's kingdom was on the move. The light of Christ was beginning to shine. And a crippled man who had been lame from birth sat and listened to Paul's words. And Paul looked at the faith of the man and said in a great voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And the man jumped up and began walking around. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in their own Lyconium language, "The gods have become like men and have come down to us." And they gave Barnabas the name Zeus and Paul the name Hermes because he was the chief speaker. And I remember, as we were leaving Belarus, the crowds were coming in upon us. And the kids, I remember, wanted autographs, if you can believe it. And everyone was hugging everyone. So happy were the people to have heard the gospel. I commented to Dr. Feuerhahn, "Now I have a feeling what it was like for Paul and Barnabas to be thought of as Zeus and Hermes." A pretty heady experience it was. More significantly, it was great to proclaim that indeed God's Son had come down to earth and that God had become a man for our salvation. Now, as you would expect upon receiving such praise, Barnabas and Paul did the right thing and would accept no praise for themselves, saying, "Men, why are you doing such things? We're only human beings like you. To evangelize you, to turn away from such folly to the living God who made heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them." And indeed, that's what missionary work does. It doesn't impose a law or offer a new set of instructions, but it frees people from bondage to false gods and idols. It frees people from ignorance and folly. And then Paul made an interesting, and to me, rather unexpected point, saying to the people of Lystra, "In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness to you by giving you the rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with happiness." And so Paul offers what appears to be a little bit of positive, natural theology. But it's more than that. It's the knowledge that God is indeed at peace with the world because of what Christ has done. Even in pagan lands to this day, folks are fed, the rain falls, and there is in human life a time for happiness. Why? All because God is merciful. And that because of what Christ has done, he is at peace with the world, reconciled unto it. Indeed, it's a great message upon which to base our missionary work, the objective truth of our objective justification in Christ. Final thought. I've heard it said that America is changing. I guess we see it all around us, becoming more and more a mission field. If it's true, then so be it. It'll mean more challenges and greater dangers for you, but it will also mean more opportunities and greater joys. For to us ministers of the gospel, as to Paul and Barnabas, we'll be given the task of preaching to those who have never heard of Christ, or have only heard of him, or have only heard a distorted version. And when the folks hear the gospel, they too will rejoice, and so will we, now and forever, in God's Son who became man for our sake. Amen.